Tell you, I really love old people, and it seems to be a part of getting older. You notice that the memory kind of plays tricks on you? I've got a neighbor there. He's a splendid guy, a good Christian fella, and he's taking care of his dad now. Stopped by to see him the other day, and his dad's mind, his memory is so bad. And he said, Dad can hide his own Easter eggs. His memory's gone so. And I related to that as well. Did you hear about the old couple that had been married 65 years? And Grandpa called Granny, honey and baby and darling all the time. And so the great-grandkids said, Grandpa, how come you still call Granny darling and baby and honey 65 years? And he said, about 5 years ago, I forgot her name. And so I relate a little bit to that. And I was seeing something the other day I thought was cute, Brother Mike. And he said, one of the good things about older folks is you can tell them your secrets. And they forgot it by tomorrow. And so I guess that's just part of the forgetting what I did this morning goes with it. Okay, you all done now? All right, you ready for church? Okay, all right, good deal. I do appreciate the privilege of being with you tonight. It's so good to see each one of you again, and I thank you, Brother Mike, from the very deep of my heart for entrusting your pulpit to me. I appreciate the work of God here at Oak Lane, always did. Some of the greatest people on earth are right here in the building with us. I feel that in my heart. And so thank you for this time to get to be with you again. I've got to get directly into the Word, and I want to preach truth to you tonight and share some things with you on my heart. And if you'll pray, I'll preach, and hopefully that you don't get done before I do in that, but you'll keep praying to the end. So take your Bible and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 44, if you will, please. I'm going to read two verses there that's laid on my heart. And I've just got to do something. I'm going to embarrass her to death. But my dear mother-in-law is with us tonight, and I love her so much. She's not just my mother-in-law. She's a dear friend to me. Are you okay, Miss Delf? She had a fall out there, and my heart quit when I saw her fall. And I'm glad you're okay. She goes to church a lot with us, and I just enjoy her. She's got a big sense of humor. And she either likes my jokes or thinks I'm a joke, one or the other. I'm not going to ask her. She might tell me. But I'm glad you're okay tonight, and praise the Lord for you. Genesis 44, 1 and 2. And he commanded the steward of his house, this is Joseph, saying, fill the men's sack with food as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth, and put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, that's Benjamin, and his corn money. And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. I'm going to be preaching from verse 2. Joseph's silver cup. This cup, of course, is going to represent redemption. And I want to preach from Joseph's life. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege of being in the house of God with these dear family of God. Thank you for the pastors that are here tonight that graciously turned their services out to be with us. Thank you for them. Bless their congregations as well as Oak Lane tonight. And Father, as we begin the first night of camp meeting, I just pray and ask you tonight, hey, you might be lifted up. Thank you for the wonderful singing. Oh, God, the songs of Zion that's lifted us up. But, Father, as I give out the word that you've laid on my heart, I pray for the greatest anointing that I've ever had in my life. If tonight is my last night to ever share the gospel, I pray then tonight that the axe will swim, the anointing will be upon me in a great way. And, Lord, may we leave here tonight praising our Lord for your wonderful redemptive plan. Have your way in the service tonight. I know in me dwells no good thing worthy of preaching the gospel. And I know without you I can do nothing. But I pray tonight that you would anoint me and help me in a special way. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. As you have already taken notice that I'm preaching about this great man, Joseph. I don't believe there's ever been anyone that has revealed Jesus Christ any more than this man did in his life. And this is so marvelous to me when we consider how many hundreds of years before Christ, Joseph was used of the Lord. There's a lot of similarities, you'll remember, as I enumerate a few to you, of how Joseph was like Jesus. Both of their births were ordained and ordered of God. Both of them were greatly beloved of their father. But they were both hated and rejected by their brethren. Joseph sold for 20 pieces of silver and our Lord Jesus for 30 pieces. But I noticed something in their life. They both kept an excellent spirit through all of their testings and trying. And in a spiritual moment, as Joseph was given Asenath for his wife, she's a Gentile. My Lord Jesus Christ is taking a bride today of the Gentiles. It's called the church. A lot of good young people here that I've looked forward to preaching and seeing you again. There's a lot of things that you need to learn and observe from the life of Joseph. Let me share a few things with him. He honored his father and mother, Brother Arliss Jones, all the days of his life. And I want to tell you, God will still bless the child that will do that. He'll give you days that are long upon this earth and with blessings. I noticed something, Pastor. His Christian raising never left him. I say to you tonight, young people, you do not have to sow wild oats. You could spend the rest of your life reaping from that. Be wise, because a wise son maketh a what? A proud father. But Leo, he didn't live for himself. He was selfless. And the people God used are selfless people, not selfish people. Selfless. I noticed this great man had a servant's heart.
Amen.
And the word of God actually, his raising, his teaching, superseded the fleshly natural desires of his life. Spiritual men exercise the spirit, but fleshly men seek to enjoy fleshly desires, pushing the limits. But this is dangerous because the flesh is never satisfied. Young people, I pray God will give this to you. Joseph had a sin consciousness. He recognized, Brother Randy Hicks, the sin of adultery was against God.
Amen.
And notice, he said, my master's been very good to me. He had a spirit of gratefulness and loyalty to his master. But I don't believe there's anyone in the Word of God that you can see the sovereignty of the hand of God on his life any more than Joseph. And when you believe in the sovereignty of God, I've been saying this a long time, you can step where you can't see. You can undergo what you can't understand. And you can endure what you don't enjoy when you believe that a sovereign God is controlling your life. I'm going to lead you down later in the message to the silver cup. But I want to preach to you tonight on three things about Joseph. First of all, that he was victimized of jealousy and hatred and a lying woman. But I want to say to you on the start of that, that the foreknowledge of God would not have allowed him to go through those tests had not God known he could pass it. Well, what a blessed thought. There's not going to be anything come on your life can overcome you as you trust the sovereignty of God and believe in God. God was working a plan. Now, sometimes, Brother Leo, serving God will get you in trouble. What do you get mad about?
It'll get you out of trouble.
The prophecies that God had given. They did not like him, Brother James Fox, because he prophesied of sheaves, of stars, of interpretation of dreams, and all of that. And I want to say, young people, that God that you get in trouble for, like Brother Leodai said, it'll get you out of trouble too. And you'll see that. Joseph was victimized. Anybody ever feel like that?
Oh, yeah.
You ever get some of that in life? But I want to tell you, when that occurs and you obey God and walk with that, God is working a plan to reach and to help somebody.
Yes.
Paul said that. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened to me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel. Throw me in jail, he says, Brother Brian, and I will have a jailhouse revival.
Oh, yeah.
You stoned me to death and God raised me up with a bigger testimony. Now, some of you may be victimized and you're wondering, why am I having to go through what I'm going through? Let me tell you, God Almighty might be working a plan that he's going to reach somebody through you in that. He's put in the crosshairs, but God's watching him and sustaining him. And you have asked Joseph 20 years earlier, when his hands are tied together and his legs are maybe strapped around a camel, do you believe that all things work together for good to those that love God and to those that are called according to his purpose? He said, I don't see how. I want to go home. I want to see my dad. I want to be with my little brother Benjamin.
Yeah.
And these folks, just because I told them the prophecy, they hate me. They're rejecting me. And I'm on my way to be sold by traitors.
Yeah.
If you'd have come back 20 years later and asked him, he'd said, you can trust God that he'll work all things together for good.
Amen.
My, my, he was victimized. And you see him in these difficulties. Oh, I want to use a word. I'm moving fast that we don't use much. Joseph become the viceroy. You know what that really means? One that is governor over a sovereign ruler's affairs. Man, that's spiritual.
Amen.
Wow. Who is a sovereign anyway? The Lord God omnipotent. Elohim. And that's really who Joseph's working for.
Yeah.
And he's the viceroy. He's actually next to Pharaoh. The king has put his ring on his finger. Do you know what that means? He can stamp any law into effect. Isn't that right, Pastor? Anything I say in Egypt, I stamp that stamp and it goes. That's what you better do, Brother Joy. Wow. He's the viceroy, that same little boy that sold and that was hated. God's working a big plan right
Hallelujah.
There in a tremendous way.
Hallelujah.
I really believe he's the greatest leader of his time. There's a gold chain about his neck. The Bible said he's ruler over all the land. He's riding in the second Rolls Royce chariot. And they say when he comes by, bow the knee to that man.
Yeah.
What are they bowing, Brother Brian? What did he see? What did he see in those prophecies? God's keeping his prophecy.
Yes, amen.
at those brothers, and that's not the only time they're going to bow down, that they're going to come before him and bow down. How's he doing this? Joseph settled it in his life. God is in charge.
Amen. My life. Amen. This is revealed as he tells his brother, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He sent me here to preserve a posterity. I've become like a father to Pharaoh.
Aha.
Now moving quickly, so stay with me quickly. Notice then the sweet victory that comes to his life. How sweet when it comes, Brother John Uther, after you've been victimized. Have you ever been there?
Oh, yes.
You know what it is to be victimized? And you see God turn that thing around.
Oh,
and
yes.
God bless that.
Yes, Lord.
Then you can see that God was working all the time. Notice what he says. How sweet the victory. God sent me to preserve life. Had the sovereign will of God not been done, then the nation of Israel would have perished with starvation. Then the promised seed of David would not have come. Then the Satan bruiser would not have come. But I want to tell you, God knew the pit was empty, Brother Ellisdale, when they put him in it. Israelites. But the foreknowledge of God literally allowed this Joseph to do this. I really believe that he knew that the butler would forget, Brother Jamie Dole, all about his interpretation. But a belief from it. God just happened to open his memory.
Yes,
and he says, Pharaoh, I remember my fault.
Oh, yeah.
When I was down there in prison and you was mad at me, there was a Hebrew slave down there and a Hebrew servant down there, and I had a dream. And I had this dream I couldn't understand.
Oh, yeah.
And the butler and the baker was down there with me. But there was this young Hebrew. The spirit of the excellent God was upon, and he interpreted my dream.
Yes,
simply because, everybody say that tie? I've got to have a little collar room here. The butler forgot him.
Yeah.
After he'd been restored to his butlership. But get this with me, please. Joseph has a spirit of prophecy on him. And you know what the test of a real prophet is, folks? Does his prophecies come true?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And you can't find in the Word of God where one of Joseph's prophecies did not come true.
Right.
Brother Mike, he was not a diviner in the sense of witchcraft, as you would think,
right,
looking into the cup. But he was one that could, God revealed prophecy.
Amen.
Divine through him.
Amen.
God gave him a sweet day of victory. And God worked it all out to bring Jacob or Israel and the 11 sons all to safety.
Oh, yes.
Excuse me. If I went down this aisle preaching tonight and I tapped Sister Beecham on the shoulder and I said, Sister Beecham, what would you like? She'd say, all my kids to be saved. Am I right? If I stepped across the aisle, Brother Arliss, I'd say, Brother Arliss, what'd you like more than anything? And he'd say, I'd like the whole family to be saved.
Amen.
Am I right? And you get what I'm preaching about. You talk about a day of victory.
Yes.
After being victimized,
yeah,
and treated as he's treated. Notice what he's doing, friend.
Yes, Lord.
Jacob saved. Israel got to see him again. Benjamin, they reconciled, the brothers. Joseph didn't hold any and lost in his heart. What'd he go from, preacher? 70 souls come down to Egypt. And over 3 million went out.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, I wish you could sing. I'd sing. It'll be worth it all if we see Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
You might be victimized tonight. You might be wondering, why in the world has this happened? And why would it ever happen to me? You hang on. God may make a vassal out of you. God may put you over His affairs, working for Him. And then a day of victory comes such as that. My, what a day. What a day it was.
Oh,
I'll never forget it. If I live to be 100, or keep any mind, there's a little guy that's precious in my mind by the name of Josh Perham. And the last time I seen him, he's still doing like this. Remember his sister Katie? His brother, Brother Ernie Perham's boys. You know what? He had a life's verse. He had what? Spinal bifida, Connie?
Yes.
What was it? Anyway, he was crippled. He'd been adopted by Brother Ernie. That kind of, that brace on his leg and those big old feet. And he walked dragging that thing like he's dragging a log. Mm-hmm. Brother Leo, he quoted his scripture.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
It's good for me that I've been afflicted, but I might learn thy statutes.
Oh, amen.
When we're being victimized and having difficulties, it's hard for us to see it. But I want to tell you, if it had not been for his condition, Brother Ernie probably wouldn't have ever had the opportunity to adopt him and to raise him. And he was preaching the gospel and he could do a good job.
Yes, amen.
What are you saying, preacher? The Bible said, Brother, by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. That's scripture. Sometimes it's good for us to be broken.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
I mean that. Sometimes it's good for us to have a broken heart.
Yes.
Sometimes it may even be good for us to be victimized and have a difficulty. All right, that was just from the life of Joseph. Why the silver cup, preacher? Why not a silver spoon? Why not some silver coins? Because throughout the Bible, silver is a picture of redeeming. And of redemption. Now the Old Testament board just always caught me. Made in a special wood. 2 foot thick. Why, brother? And that part of the tabernacle, east, west, and north, or not east and west, opposite of that, the east was left open. North, south, and west, they were set in sockets of silver.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
And numbers always kind of meant something to me. There was 48 of them. I thought Mike Hoggart might be here. Do you realize that? That is the number of victory over sin and a new creation. And those boards are brought together through a new creation and literally brought together by redemption.
Amen.
This tabernacle was a habitation for God. Do you know? God fastened it together upon those sockets of silver, interlocking them as one piece. Where'd that redemption money come from? Is there any Bible students here? You still have the Bible, Brian? You know where the redemption money come from? Every male that reached the age of accountability that was numbered was to bring silver. Boy, it's rich. It's Christmas fudge. I mean. And here's what's neat about it. Everyone that reached the age of 20 years old that was going to go in the numbers had to bring this redemption money. And here's what's good about it. A rich man brought the same price, that half shekel of silver. And a poor man brought the same. When it comes to salvation, brother, there is no difference.
Amen.
When it comes to redemption, it's the same price. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ. We must be redeemed. That is the only redemption money. Is the blood of Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
That's right. If there's an 80-year-old man here and you're not saved, It'll be the same price for your salvation as it would for a five-year-old child.
That's right. Amen.
By the redemptive blood of Jesus Christ. Yes. That's why there's a silver cup. There's a great message behind it and a great message to it. Notice with me this, please. I don't know why, Brother Mike, but it always catches my attention. I wonder how much that was. Well, one fella made an estimation of those 603,550 men, that would be 8,400 pounds of silver. It held together the boards that weighed 18,800 pounds of silver. I'd sure run from the call back then. You know why? Because those Marinites had to move that silver every time that tabernacle moved.
Right.
And you imagine something weighing that much. Well, why? Why so much? I want to tell you, James Edward, the foundation of God standing sure. They didn't set those boards on the sinking sand of the desert, but they set them in sockets of silver that fastened together and held them together.
Amen.
And the foundation of God, even amongst the midst of COVID, even in the midst of all the corruption in America, still sets on a solid foundation of the redemptive blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The church has only one foundation.
Yeah.
It has only one foundation. I got news for you. It's not the Free Will Baptist denomination either. It's not the Pentecostal denomination. It's not the Methodist denomination. Whatever you want to call it. It's still built upon the redemptive work, which is the blood of Jesus Christ. It will always be so. But I can't imagine having to pick that up, put that on an old ox cart. Can you imagine, Joe, what an awesome task? Listen, who gave the plan? God Almighty did.
Yes, sir.
Yes, God Almighty did. And I want you to know, dear friend, he never made a mistake back then.
That's right.
And have those men fudged on that, Brother Mike, and said, there's no need for those to be quite that heavy. Let's make them a little easier for folks. God would not have come down and met with them because they had to meet what God said in the condition. And I got news for you in this hour and this year that we're living in. God's word has not changed. The condition is still in his book. And brother, listen, if we're going to have God in our midst, we need to do what God said. Don't you agree? That we need to do again what God said.
Amen.
I can see those things fastened together. You know what? The church is still, Brother June Woody, held together by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We as brothers and sisters in the Lord, we have one common tie, Brother James, and that is the blood of Christ.
Yes.
We can get along if you stay under that. When we say, Brother John Edwards, that blood, no. Then you left me out.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
You left me out because there's one common bond that held that whole thing together. It was the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And that's why that it wasn't a silver spoon or it wasn't a silver comb. It's a silver cup. Boy, I've studied maybe too much on this message. But I've thought this thing backwards and forward and thought it backwards and forward and dreamed about it and woke up about thinking about it. That redemption money brings us to and fits us for God. You see, the Israelite who paid his ransom money was numbered as a soldier and a servant for God. There's a place assigned him in the battlefield. He had his position in the camp. It was appointed with reference to the tabernacle. How come? God was in their midst. God was therefore their leader, their Lord, and their King. And like manner, the believer is still redeemed by God, by the blood of Christ, from the world and from slavery to sin and Satan, that he might be a soldier and servant of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Silver cup was a cup of redemption. It was not a spur of the moment thought by Joseph. He tells his servant, put it in the youngest one's sack. That's Benjamin's. Where did the first king come from? The tribe of the Benjamites. Where did Apostle Paul come from? The tribe of the Benjamites. God was working redemption and showing a picture with that cup way back then. The Bible's got a lot to say about it. I believe that the cup was a cup of redemption.
Yes,
it delivered
Lord.
Benjamin from death and starvation.
Yes, Lord.
It brought him into a land of plenty. The atonement at one moment, enemies were reconciled. I believe further that Joseph had a test for his brethren.
Jesus.
And one of the reasons they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. Why did a silver cup? He knows what they want to do with silver. I really believe he's seen that those guys' hearts changed, did he? Because that cup, Brother Artis, may have been worth 200 shekels of silver. And they could have shut that thing, sold that thing, and put their money in, so we come out good in that deal, didn't we, boys? God puts it there with a purpose to see what they were. I read about another one. A further son of Jacob. His name was Jesus. He drank of a dark cup of sin. Three times in the garden he prayed, may this cup pass from me. It is a cup of sin, of suffering and shame. For cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. There's another cup, Brother Jamie Doyle. He said, this is the cup of the blood of the New Testament, which he shed for many for the remission of sin. Drink you
Amen.
All of it. That's not the end of it, though.
Oh,
he said, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
Amen.
Get out the silver cups. We're going to a marriage supper of a lamb.
Amen.
And there, my friend, we'll drink anew with him in heaven. Beloved, I say to you tonight, keep the cup of redemption.
Yes.
America's got to have revival or we're going to collapse.
Amen.
Our financial system is going to fall on its face, it seems. Corruption is in the highest offices of the land, and it's down to your town.
Amen.
I woke some of you up, didn't I? I didn't mean to do that, but this leaning further. I pastored here 26 and a half years. You've got as much sin in Boone County, Arkansas, and high places all the way down as anywhere. America's going to be turned around. You're right, Brother James General. It's going to have to start on the local level. It's going to have to start in our homes and in the church. And then maybe we can get it from our house to the church house to the courthouse to the state house to the big house, the White House. And I say to you, it can only come through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You keep the cup of redemption, and it's
Lord.
Yours. Don't drink the cup of his wrath.
Right.
Drink the cup of redemption. The Bible gives us some serious thoughts. Do you know in Jeremiah 6:30 it said, reprobate silver shall men call them. You know why? Because the Lord hath rejected them.
Oh, God.
You can't cross a line, friend.
Yeah.
God will turn you over, according to the Romans, to a reprobate mind. A nation, Brother Larry Smith, can be turned over till they become reprobate silver. No redemption value to them. Worth nothing. It's like the salt of the earth that's lost its saltiness. Earth, shall it be salt. Now, I preached faster than you thought I could. Joseph had a request. Take my bones back home from the bed. And I believe in the house was a funny looking box. Maybe it leaned up against the wall. They kept that thing. I could hear little kids say, "Grandpa, what's that box and what's in it?" He said, "That's one of your relatives by the name of Joseph. He's the one that saved us. He's the one that saved whole nations, son."
Yeah.
Yeah. And he believed in God, son. And he said that someday God's going to visit us.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to take us home.
Yes, he is.
Hear my bones back with you.
Hallelujah.
And I believe Brother Danny Sparks said, "Now, son, those feet, those bones in there, those are the feet that run from Pharaoh's wife."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hallelujah.
You ought to be a man like him, son.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
He run from evil. Those hands, that's the ones that dished out the horn, kept us alive, son.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Yes.
Those eyes in that coffin were the ones that could weep for his brother said done him wrong.
Yep.
So
yep.
You'll be that kind of Christian.
Yep. Uh-huh.
You'll be that kind of man. Yep. And in that body was the spirit of the excellent God.
Amen.
You'll be like him, son.
Yeah.
Well, Grandpa, what's that silver cup doing sitting on top of the box? Mm-hmm. Oh, son. Glory. That's a cup of redemption.
Amen.
And the Lord knew something about that cup, surely. Because Brother Ellis Noah, he said in the book of Peter, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ."
Amen.
Why the cup? Redemption. Redemption.
I am redeemed. Hallelujah.
Love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. Christ is mine. All to him I now resign. I have been redeemed.
Glory.
That was Joseph. Young people, I included you in the message. And I challenge you to be like him.
Yes.
I challenge you to be like him. Have the wealth of the world. That he'd still take Jesus.
Hallelujah.
He'd still take Jesus.
Yes.
He'd still keep the word of God in his heart. I challenge you. The silver cup. What did it do? It saved him. Now, there's something better now. The cup has been replaced as such with the very blood of Christ.
Yes.
And there's still a fountain open for cleansing.
Oh, yes.
Tonight.
Hallelujah.
There's still a place that you can have that same
problem.
Take it. It's still the answer for America.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Lord, I just laid this before you. I've studied and studied and studied and prayed. And I just laid it before you. I just beg you to stay. Take this message for a little bit. If there's someone here being victimized, being facing difficulties, and they're going through some valleys they can't understand, that they might look ahead and see God's meaning it for good. You're going to do something through this. God, help every one of us to be viceroys in the fact that we'll take care of your affairs in this life, that we might really have the victory.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh God, thank you for the revelation of Christ that you give us in the life of Joseph. Now speak to hearts and speak to lives, speak to souls right now in the name of Jesus, I pray.